You're listening to The Journey with your host, Dr. Monica Y. Jackson, Ph.D., on the CWR Network.
Have you ever had a vision of where you want it to be? Of course you have. We all have. Some of us realize our vision, and some of us do not. Rarely do we stop to think about the journey, and we may find ourselves in painful, dark places. I don't know about you, but I am so tired of people dying on me. I'm tired of people undergoing medical treatment and not getting better. I'm tired of people being wounded by the church, community, and society. I'm tired of people turning a blind eye, condoning wrongdoing, and failing to think for themselves. The journey is real talk, real issues, real people in the real world. Welcome to The Journey. I am your host, Dr. Monica. May you eat and live healthily after the journey. On December 25th, Christians will celebrate Jesus' birth and the world will celebrate Christmas. Many church pews will be filled to capacity on Sunday, but there are some people who refuse to step foot inside a church ever again because the village has failed them. As someone who has attended church for all of my life and had conversations with peers, current and former churchgoers, and even some pastors, I can say that there are way too many churches not practicing what they preach and not preaching what they practice. Many have become clubs, businesses, and doing more harm than good. Sadly, many don't know or care that they are harming others because the focus is all about church growth, numbers, money, becoming the next megachurch, and gloating about the elite memberships, celebrities, doctors, lawyers, and others. And as a result, too many followers choose to turn a blind eye and say, "We'll just pray about it," instead of saying something when they see something. Sexual abuse, manipulation, brainwashing, witchcraft, mind control, fear tactics, preying on the naive and the innocent. There's even a hashtag, Church2, which correlates to the hashtag MeToo movement. But what happens to those who haven't developed their voice and can't speak up? They may end up like today's special guest. And what's the responsibility of those who have a developed voice? Today's topic is, "That's why I don't go to church," when the village failed. And the purpose is to be the voice for the next 45 minutes. This program was predestined nearly 2 years ago when I first met our special guest. And it is no coincidence that it's airing in the midst of heightened sexual misconduct allegations. Since my last interview with today's guest, I asked myself, how many more are there silently suffering in the church? And how do we stop the various forms of abuse in the church? Not realizing that in that very year, I would experience a gut-wrenching form of abuse in my very own church that cut me to my core and nearly took me out. But through that, I've truly learned that trials are necessary. They come to make us strong and push us towards our destiny. Sometimes kicking and screaming, but we will take the journey. I knew that The Journey Talk Radio must be obedient to Luke 8:17, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought on out into the open. So today, The Journey welcomes Miss Kiana Richards to bring light to what too many churches want to keep in the dark. Thank you for joining us and welcome, Kiana.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Monica.
Since our initial meeting nearly 2 years ago, Kiana, you have been on my mind, and I believe that somehow, some way, there's a grander plan for us to increase awareness, help with prevention, and save those who have lost or never found their voice. There are too many wounded pastors with big egos and narcissistic personalities who profess to be healed of their own pain and abuse, standing behind the pulpit, but haven't truly healed. Otherwise, they would not be so comfortable with wounding others and hiding behind, "I didn't mean it," or "I'm not the problem." Now, let me be clear that this is not a pastor bashing show, and we all make mistakes and fall short. There are some great pastors, and then there are other pastors. As a reminder, the journey is real talk, real issues in the real world. My or Kiana's real may not be your real, but nevertheless, it is very real. So let's jump right into the interview with Kiana.
Well, I grew up in the church. Hello, everyone. I grew up in the church from the age, very young, since I was 4 years old. My family, it was a family church, small and close-knit. And we were involved in a lot in the community. We did a lot of outreach. Personally, I was involved in every aspect of the church, whether it's choir, usher board, everything. So it was important for me to stay focused on why, you know, at a young age, God, I felt like God called me to the church. It was important for me to focus on how to make a difference, you know, how to find myself and how to find God in the midst of, you know, life's turmoil. And, you know, I turned to the church.
Like many of us do, you know, just like you, I was raised in the church. I've been in church all my life. And, you know, that's been our source in the Black community. And it's a place where we find trust. We love the people, and they're supposed to be like family. You know, and you no longer attend church. Can you tell our listeners why and what your experience was?
I don't. I don't attend church currently. It's been about 4 years since I've been a member of a church. And the reason why is, although I know that God is perfect and His plan is perfect, you know, what the people He created, what they do on their free will time is not God's plan. It's not in God's plan all the time. While we want to believe that people are good people because they love God and because they follow and they trust Him and believe in Him, that's not always the case. Because God gives us free will to do good and to do evil in the world. And unfortunately, the world is not just, it's not just the world. The world inside of the church, most of the time, it's in between, it's in those four walls. And so a lot of times we fail, you know, because we don't see that, you know, God is not in mess, but unfortunately, people are.
You know, Lynn, I just want to comment on that. You said that God is not a mess, you know, and God does not create mess. And anything that's in mess and chaos is not of God. And I hope our listeners clearly hear that. You know, we mistake our own will and our own desires for things of the world that are messy. And we need to resolve those things before we move forward. So you know what? We want to jump right in. And as I stated earlier, we are in the midst of many sexual allegations of major people, and it's in the entertainment industry primarily. And they haven't touched on it being in the church. And it's very prevalent in the church, extremely prevalent. No one wants to talk about it. They want to pretend like it doesn't exist. And that's more harmful than not speaking up, because once it hits your family, your daughter, your sister, your brother, then it's a problem. And until it does hit that person, it's not a problem. So I just wanted you to kind of just talk about what you experienced in the church and the abuse that you experienced.
Well, like I previously said, I grew up in the church, and my church was a family church, so it was aunts, uncles, sisters, cousins, brothers, everything within the church, grandmothers. And so as close as we were, and sometimes, you know, I believe that there's two, like, you just got to watch your kids. You got to watch, I don't care if they're your family or your pastor or your whatever they're involved in or relationship is to you and your family, it's important to just be careful who you allow around your kids, you know. And so growing up, you know, my home life with my mom, single parent, wasn't all peachy. You know, I dealt with a lot of physical and verbal abuse, and so I ran to the church for the church to be my refuge. And in doing so, you know, I went to my uncle's church, and, you know, from the age of, you know, very young, since I was 4 years old. And when I started to come into the understanding of God, I was about 12 years old. And I remember praying and asking God, you know, Lord, save my family. Lord, save my mother. You know, I need you. You know, really crying out to God and asking him for that. And while I was doing that, I didn't realize that not only God was listening to those prayers and those needs, you know, those that I was around, they heard too. So my pastor heard it, my, you know, aunts and people who were at the church, they all heard these things. So they knew the needs that I had deep down inside. And I believe that through that need, my uncle and my pastor, he, you know, took a liking to me and to draw me in.
I'm going to just stop you just for a second, because I want to make sure that the audience understands that this is one single person. The pastor was or is her uncle. And so this is the person that we're speaking of. And for purpose of this show, we're going to call him Pastor Uncle. So continue.
Yes, Pastor Uncle. the relationship started with, you know, him just telling me to express myself. You know, he was my Sunday school teacher, taught me everything I knew about God. The foundation of what I know about God is because of him. And so, you know, he told me to write letters to him, telling him how I felt and, you know, what was going on at home. And so that's how I started actually writing. Like, the foundation of me and what I do to this day started there. And so, you know, I started writing him letters, telling him how I felt and, you know, being transparent, telling him everything. And I believe that through that communication, he drew closer to me than I really, you know, of course, I was, at this time, it started when I was 12 years old. His writing started when I was 12. And it just evolved into something that was just out of control. And I didn't know what was going on or what was happening. You know, I didn't know that this was a seed that was being planted of trust, and a seed to let me know that I could trust him. And because I didn't feel like I can trust anybody. I didn't feel loved. I didn't feel appreciated. I didn't feel like a girl. I didn't feel worthy. And all of those things, as a man and as a pastor and as an uncle, he became all of those things to me in one person that I'd never have had. And so when I, you know, was writing, telling him how I felt, you know, our relationship started to develop into something a little bit more. You know, so then it went from letters to, you know, him coming to my school, you know, before school, and he would, you know, talk to me and encourage me and, you know, different things like that. So everything seemed really pure, and it seemed like a loving pastor, uncle and niece relationship. You know, like, that was the foundation of the relationship, and that's how all of that got started, you know. And then that turned into something else. You know, so like I said, it evolved from there to, you know, him first touching me, you know, and before school, you know, that, and me being confused and me not knowing what to do, or knowing, you know, him telling me he loved me and me believing that he loved me and that he would never do anything to hurt me. I believed him when he told me that. You know, it started to be the secret now, the secret life I started to live, where it was like I couldn't talk about him. You know, I couldn't, you know, nothing. Like, it was just me and him. You know, that was it. Like, when we talked and he was encouraging me and he was lifting me up and he was praying for me and doing all of these things, you know, at the same time, he had his hand in between my legs, you know. And he had his hand on my mind, on my brain, and he was controlling me and manipulating me into thinking that I couldn't live without him. I couldn't survive. You know, I couldn't think without him telling me how to think and how to live. And, you know, so it's just, you know, it got to a point where from there, like I said, and I'm thinking I'm like 14, 15 now, and things at home got really bad to where my mom, one night she kicked me out, and I go where my refuge is. You know, I run to him because he was my refuge. You know, my father wasn't really, you know, father, doing fatherly things. He wasn't really present like I needed him to be. So I ran to who my father, quote unquote, was at that time. And I ended up, he opened his door, him and his wife, to me, for me to be able to live there with them. I stayed there for a few months, but it was during those few months that we had sex. And I say we had sex because, you know, at that time I thought that's what it was. You know, I thought, you know, I was giving myself to him. I thought that he was, I just thought he would take care of me, you know, and I didn't realize that, you know, I wasn't having sex with a little boy that was the same age as me. You know, we just fooling around, don't know what we doing, whatever. I was giving myself to a grown man who knew that this was wrong. While me, I didn't see any of this. You know, I didn't see that it was wrong. I just thought, oh, he loves me. He loves me. He takes care of me. You know, he looks out for me. He encourages me. You know, that's the foundation, the strong foundation that I thought that this was built on.
You know, and listening to you, you know, one of the things that I hope that if there's anybody listening as a pastor, if there's anybody listening who's a church member, these are some things that we need to start teaching in the church. You know, we go to church and we trust, and we're supposed to put our trust and hope, you know, in God. And sometimes, as Kiana has stated, your voice hasn't been developed yet, and you don't know. And so it's very important for us to teach some things, you know. And I know, you know, personally, we go to church and you know, it's always encouraged that we look on the bright side, keep positive, and, you know, just pray about it. Oh, Lord, make a way, and so forth and so on. But we need to get real in the church. And we need to get very real in calling it what it is. And, you know, the people sitting in the pew need to hold their leaders accountable. These pastors are the so-called called. You know, so we have to look at whether they're called or whether they're calling themselves or they're falling out of their calling. But whatever it is, they need to have people in the church who are accountable to the church, because it's not just about being accountable to the pastor, but being accountable to the flock and the sheep and those who are sitting in these pews. So I personally admonish everyone that you have a responsibility not only to yourself and your family, but the body, because the word says that when one part of the body is hurting, the entire body is hurting. And so we need to stop turning a blind eye to these things that are going on in church, not just sexual abuse, but any form of abuse. One of the things that Kiana mentioned is manipulation. You know, I do know personally that pastors do prey on the naive and the innocent. and to get what they want, they will do and say certain things. And I'm, again, this is not a pastor bashing, but because the topic is, that's why I don't go to church. And we need to have more people in the church that can do what God has them to do. People can't fulfill their purpose when they're being abused or when they're being blindsided by manipulation. And you know, one of the things I mentioned earlier in the introduction, I mentioned witchcraft. You know, I was speaking to a pastor recently, and there are classes that pastors go to learn about witchcraft. And so these are things that are discussed, and they're never discussed. And in fact, I mean, I'm 53 years old, and who would have ever thought that there's a class that a pastor would go to about witchcraft and manipulation? So sometimes they have this advantage over, and when you are hurting or don't have a solid foundation as a child or even someone who's been wounded later in life, then you start trusting people and putting more trust in people than those that you should not. So I just hope that, you know, the village clearly stops failing, you know, individuals, and also the village steps up and stops failing the church. And so I just hope that our listeners hear this and just stand up. You know, and one of the things, you know, Kiana, the village clearly failed you. And when I met you about almost 2 years ago, one of the things that really stuck with me, you spoke about your uncle, or pastor uncle, and your aunt, his wife, and she actually, some of the things that she said to you, and you asked her why didn't she help you, and the thing that she said was she viewed you as the other woman trying to steal her man and not a child or her niece in need of help, you know, and I was just floored by that. And just the mind of someone that can look at a child and say those things to a child. And then furthermore, people sitting in the pew know what was going on and not saying anything. And I grew up in the church, and I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot, and you know, I'm just going to keep it real in the black community. We just, you know, keep stay in your lane, stay in your own business. Don't say anything. And I have seen my share of things in the church. You know, when you witness family members being in adulterous relationships for 40 plus years, when you witness family members touching and sleeping with other women and your parents, other spouses on the other side, and you know these things, and then the pastor is not calling them out. And I'm not saying calling them out in public, but you know what? Pull them aside and provide them counseling. And my admonishment to a pastor is, you know what? If you're not healed, then you need to step down until you can heal. Because if you are not healthy enough, and if you are, your ego's too big to deal with these things, then all you're going to do is wound others. And so I just encourage you to, step up. I mean, because to me, that's what a godly man does. You can fall, but it takes one to rise.
Dr. Monica, I wanted to tell you that about a few weeks ago, because I knew about this, I did reach out to, as you call him, Pastor Uncle, and I talked to him. And, you know, amongst the other things, you know, of saying, I'm sorry, Kiana, and all this stuff, you know, I told him, you know, he's still pastoring, you know, and of course that bothers me because.
And it should bother you. It absolutely should.
Because in addition, I mean, anybody can say, I'm sorry, you know, and sorry is a very easy word, but it's what you do after that. And now if he had gone and said, okay, well, let me go get some counseling or whatever, but you know what? People don't get counseling until they're caught. You know, they don't figure that it's a problem until the situation, you know, approach. Look at all these people on TV now. Oh, now I'm a sex addict. And you just was doing wrong. And, you know, and I'm not saying that there aren't any sex addicts out there, but the prevalence of it is just enormous. So continue.
Well, you know, the spirit of perversion is sexual perversion is big in our community, whether black community or it's just across the board. It's huge. And a lot of people would rather stuff it in a closet, you know, rather than just deal with the elephant in the room. And I'm, my whole journey after getting out of that situation and trying to find healing, getting counseling, trying to find a support system, my journey has been to get other women who are like me and to inspire other women who are like me or have similar stories and get them to understand that, number one, it's not your fault. And to, like I told him, I said, you know, because he's talking about ministry, I said, why are you still pastoring? You're not healed. You're not, you're still in this. You know, why are you doing it? You know, I said, the biggest ministry that you can do for God, if you love God like you say you do, if you love God's people like you say you love them, is to be open about what you've done and to reach out to those that you hurt and reconcile while you're still living on this earth. Because it, even if some people don't want to hear, I'm sorry, reconciliation is, it's like the biggest act of God. It's the biggest I'm sorry that you can possibly give, even if somebody doesn't forgive you. Like, you can't say I'm sorry from the dead. When we die, the most important thing about my life is that I'm worried about is not whether I'm going to church, who what happened to me in the past and all that. My goal in my life is, and my worry is, what happens when my story is finished, when I die, like, what life do I have to show? What does my life have to show for it? Where will my soul go? And that's what I told him. Your soul is what's most important, but more importantly, as a pastor, you're wearing the souls of so many others right along with you. And are you going to lead them down the same path that you're going down? We have to hold ourselves accountable. We have to hold other people accountable. I've gained so much strength that I didn't know I had as a result of this situation. Although I'm still dealing with it, I see the manifestation of this, you know, this tragedy in my life, in my relationships with men. But I'm optimistic. I'm a part of the journey. You know, I'm a part of making my life as good as I can possibly make it and not be defined by what happened to me or what people think or what people say. It doesn't matter anymore.
Well, I want to commend you for reaching out to him, and, you know, that takes a special person to do something like that, because he didn't reach out to you, you reached out to him. But that's for your healing. And, you know, I hope that people understand the truth meaning of forgiveness when it comes to forgiveness. You know, I had a gut-wrenching experience in a church that cut me to my core. And it was a very painful experience. It wasn't a sexual experience, but it robbed me and stole me of my being. For 7 days, sun up to sundown, I was in physical, mental, and spiritual pain from this incident. And it stems from my church. A former church. And I knew to get through that, the only person I could call on was God, because there's nobody that could understand. No one can tell me how to forgive in the time frame to forgive. I have to forgive in my own time frame. I don't need the scriptures quoted. I don't need an encouragement. I need real. If I need to scream out, I need to scream out. I need to be heard. And so for those 7 days, I found God like never before. So there is true purpose in the pain, and it does push you into your ultimate destiny. And during that time, I want to just talk about the church for a second. About 6 months ago, I walked into this one church, and I was literally not knowing how I was going to survive and move forward from the pain that I had endured over the past year or so. And how do you get through that? And how do you get through being hurt and wounded by the church family? And what do you do to move forward? And so when I walked in this particular church, And when this pastor reached out to me, a friend invited me to this church, and he instantly recognized my pain. And he came to me and he said, you know what? You're in pain and you need to be under watch care for have a pastoral covering over you until God heals you. He said, because you're going to come out of this and you're going to be healed. Now, mind you, you're standing there and you're in this church, this new church, and nobody knows. And he started telling you these things. And like I said, I've been in church many years, but I have never seen a pastor to prophesy in the manner that he does or did. And I just embraced that. He said, well, you know what? We come here into watch care, attend this church. We're not asked anything of you. You just allow God to heal you. He said, and it's going to be 6 months. And I just want to say that it was 6 months. And so I just need to give a shout out to that pastor, Pastor Wallace and his lovely wife, Laura Wallace. Thank you for providing an environment where you can heal. You know, I just grew up and I heard that the church was a hospital, and I never knew what that was, but I know what it is now because I didn't want to be in a hospital. Hospitals for sick people. But I know that through my journey and my experience that I was sick, I was wounded, and I needed to be healed. And that place provided that space for healing. And many churches aren't a place for healing. There are too many places that churches are not for healing. And thank him for what he's done, his openness. And, you know, even people who would walk into his church and would doubt him or say that he should not have started a church or started a church, there's purpose in what he's doing. Now, however he started that church and it doesn't look the way you think it should look, it's working. So again, Pastor Wallace, if you are listening, Dr. Monica thanks you from the bottom of her heart. And, you know, you are doing what God called you to do, no matter how it's being done. So you would grow into where God wants you to be. And I thank you for that. So my prayer is that, you know, I'm going to extend the invitation to my guest here, Kiana. Not putting you on the spot, I'd love for you to accompany me to church one day. And for those of you
who like Dr. Monica. Okay, now, look, I came here to talk. You know what? But I'm glad you said that because I do want to say that every time I ran to the church, I believe that the church or the people in the church hurt me. Somebody, some way hurt me. And I'm about to be 32 in a couple of days. Now I realize that the church is not it's just a building. It's just a building. But the church is inside of me. Like, I'm the church. So wherever I go, my ministry, what God has given me, he's given me a gift of writing. He's given me a gift of transparency. And so that's my church. I take it wherever I go. So when somebody talks, wants to know about, have any conversation, whatever it's about, that's church for me. Like, I'm open, I'm willing, I'm available for God to use me in any capacity that he wants to use me. I look for counsel wherever I can get it. I have a support system that's wonderful that, you know, I wouldn't be here if I didn't have it. I wouldn't be as strong as I am, you know, and I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for where God has me. So I'm not going to say no to your invitation.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'm not going to say no. But, you know, I'll think about it. But, you know, church, ministry and church, it's wherever you are.
I agree. And you know what? I want you to talk about some of the things that you're doing.
Dr. Monica, well, first I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be here and to share my testimony of survival. I don't consider myself a victim, and I don't want anybody to pity me. I take my life's journey as, you know, as a crown on my head, because when I started my journey with God, it was, the foundation was in something that wasn't, that was perverse. It was perverse. But where I am now, God has taken me to another level where I'm able to use my gifts and my talents professionally. And it's a wonderful thing. So right now I'm working more so in the reality TV space. So I worked on a show, reality show, the last couple of years, and it was great. It was a great experience. I'm currently producing my own reality shows, working with a production company. And although reality TV is not as wonderful as me writing a play where I can say whatever I want to say and get my characters to say whatever I want to say, reality TV is the door that I can walk through so that at some point in this journey I'll be able to share the message that God has for me with a bigger audience. So the platform that I'm using right now is reality TV, but eventually I'll get back to what God called me to do, which is to bring awareness to the issues that I see happening within the community.
And, you know, speaking of bringing awareness, you know, we may not have the solution to stop the abuse that's in the church, and I'm thinking of all types of abuse, not just sexual abuse, but every form of abuse. Anything that deviates from the word of God is a form of abuse. And so the journey aims to increase awareness and promote prevention by empowering, educating, and motivating the church to teach children to cry out and speak up, to protect and help those who are abused and refuse to cover up past their sins and wrongdoings, sexual and non-sexual. So, Keanu, you know, what are some things that you can just kind of recommend that we look for and do in the church to, you know, deal with these things?
Well, I think that we have to hold each other accountable. That's the number one thing. Like, we can't allow certain things to happen without us having accountability. That is for our pastors, for our women, for our men in the church, for our children. While we don't want to come off as controlling, of course, but there needs to be some order. There needs to be some following the word of God for real, you know, not living, you know, a different life outside, and then on Sunday morning you are preaching and teaching and singing in the choir and doing all these things. No, but really practicing what you preach, really practicing that, living a righteous and holy lifestyle before God is the most important thing, and soul winning is the most important thing in having a relationship with God. You know, I think that's the solution, or at least the beginning of having a solution.
And, you know, I truly think that you can be a powerful force in the church. You know, whether it's another part of the ministry or not,
but
I see
that you can possibly have some type of training program where you can actually develop these training programs. And they're called the Kiana's trainings or whatever it is. And these are trainings that you can empower the church leaders, because this type of teaching is not readily available in the church. And you know, and I know, you know, you'll hear a lot of things people say, or people in the church, we just want to pray on it. And, you know, I know that prayer changes things. However, we have to not use prayer as a cop-out, because God has given us a sound mind to think. And we need to learn to think. And the other thing is, you know, the pew, people sitting in the pew, you know, we kind of, you know, I mean, you're supposed to reverence our pastors, and I understand that, and we're supposed to submit to authority. However, you need to understand that God also gave you a sound mind, and you need to not second guess yourself and think, because, and you need to be bold to speak up and do what you're supposed to do. You know, and my thing is, if you're sitting quietly in a pew and see things that are going on, you are just equally as guilty as the person that's perpetrating this. And so that's my admonishment to people who choose not to speak up in the church. And you know what? We have about 3 minutes left in the program here. And I just hope that there's something been said today that will, you know, empower this the world with, you know, we have to make some changes, not just in the church, but, you know, there's too many people who need to be in the church that won't go to church because people in the church aren't doing any better than the people on the street. And, you know, it's unfortunate. And, of course, we're not to judge. However, we need to definitely hold ourselves accountable. And there's always room for improvement, and we should always be trying to improve ourselves and get better. Who we are today is not who we will be tomorrow, who we were yesterday. And personal growth and awareness is so important. So, you know, I hope that churches start to, first of all, pastors heal themselves and have mentors, I mean, godly mentors that will really keep it real, I mean, in real talk. And so I just personally thank Kiana for today for sharing her story, her willingness to be open, the transparency. And, you know, I encourage us all to be a little bit more transparent because being transparent is exactly what, you know, will help other people because they want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear anything else but the truth, and that's what's going to change lives. It's going to change church. It's going to change the world. So Kiana, I look forward to having you at my church one day. And like I said, it is so not a traditional church, and it grew on me, and I'm saying that intentionally because this is definitely not a place that I would have ever considered going or attending as a church. However, I have been allowed to overcome my pain, and if it had not been for this church where somebody told this pastor he would never be a pastor and should never pastor, where would I be? So we need to just be mindful of the things that we say and speak into people's lives. And so I just thank you. Any final words before we depart?
Yeah, just, you know what, I want to encourage anybody who may be experienced the same thing or something similar to what I've experienced that, you know, just walk. I don't want you to not go to church. I want you to find Jesus Christ. And I want you to profess that he is Lord and Savior of your life. That is the most important thing. And however you find him, however you find solace, find it. The Bible says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who walk in Jesus, who are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I believe that if you walk by the Spirit of God, the Spirit heals you. The Spirit will deliver you. And the flesh, it gives you nothing in return. So just trust the Lord and believe that he can heal you and he can forgive you and forgive whoever else needs forgiveness. God is, his love is constant, and there's nothing that we can't do without him. So thank you again.
No, thank you, Kiana. I have been looking so forward to this segment, and I just want to thank you for being a pillar of courage, of strength, of resilience, of determination, and a role model to others. So I hope someone has heard something that will help them along their journey. This is Dr. Monica signing off until next time. Join us every first and third Tuesday from 6:30 p.m. until 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. Our next episode airs Tuesday, January 2nd, 2018, and is entitled Wellness for the Unchurched, When the Village Fails, Part 2. Our special guest will be Pastor Alan Randall Sr. For more information about our program and schedule, visit us online at www.lifeskillsenterprise.com and click on the Journey logo. Pastor Randall will address this very topic from a pastor's viewpoint and give away copies of his latest book entitled Pastoring from a Shepherding Point of View, a message for the pastor and the pew. So be sure to tune in live. As you celebrate Christmas this year with family and friends, don't forget to give the gift of voice to the voiceless. We wish you a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous and purposeful 2018. May you eat and live healthily after the journey.